V'ata. This is probably the most famous Ramban in his parish on Chumash, and the most important, and as we're going to see, it's not even necessarily the most important because of the end that everybody quotes, but literally line by line of this Ramban is golden, and there's so many important things here. V'ata. Omar l'cha klal b'tam mitzvos rabos. I'm going to teach you now a klal that explains many mitzvos. Hine. When avodah zarah began in the times of Enosh, people started developing different philosophies in terms of their faith in God. Number one, there were people who rejected. They were kofer be'ikr. And they said, the olam has no kadmon. Kia olam kadmon. That the world has always existed. It was never created. There's no ikr. There's no root. The world never was started or created, but the world has always existed. Ki chashu b'ashem v'omru lohu. They denied that there's a God. And they said that he doesn't exist. So that was clearly the most blatant form of kfira. God does not exist. Umehem, there were others. Machishin biyidiyaso hapratim. V'omru, echa yada kel. V'yesh deya be'elyon. Others believed in God, but they rejected the idea that God knows what goes on in our world. Does God know? Is there das up in Shamayim? Now, it could be that you would come to such a position, not because you don't believe that God is all-powerful, but you might think that, why would God be interested in what goes on down here? He's way too advanced, he's way too above us to even, maybe even to have the ability to know what goes on down here, because we're so insignificant compared to him. Or a person can argue and say God doesn't care, or that God is limited. He doesn't have the ability at all. Either because you think he's so great, or for whatever other reason you come up with. But that was the second group of apikarsim, of kofrim, of heretics, of people who didn't believe. Right? Each of those words is a loaded word and means something else. But that was the second group of people who were kofer. Umehem, and a third group, shiyodu biyadiyo umachishin bashkacha. Those admitted that God exists. He created the world. He knows what's going on in the world, but there's no hashkacha. He's not involved in our world. He watches, he sees, but he doesn't involve himself in the world. He doesn't get involved. Yastu adam kidgei ayam. And such people, they made man like fish of the sea. Shelo yashkia chakel bohem ve'ein imam onesh uschar. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not actively involving himself with the lives of a fish. There's no schar and onesh for a fish. There's no bechiros. There's no schar ba'onesh. So these people made God like fish, meaning insignificant in terms of God's interaction. The Omrim and such a people said, Ozav Hashem es aretz. Hashem has left the world. He's forsaken the world. He created it. He maybe knows what's going on, but he's certainly not involved. The kasher yirtza ha'elokim. Be'eda, obi yachid, v'yase imam mofes b'shinoi min hagol shel olam v'tivo. And therefore, since there were these groups of people, starting from the times of Enosh, running around, making all these erroneous claims about God, therefore, when Hashem wants to, when he develops a relationship with a group of people, or with an individual, and he does with them some type of miracle that changes nature and goes against the teva, yizbar lakol bitul adeos ha'ela kulam. That miracle makes it clear to all of the people that experience the miracle that these approaches that we mentioned above are incorrect. Ki amofes haniflam morish yesh la'olam eloka. Because a miracle, it demonstrates very clearly that there is a person who's running the world, or a being, that a God who created it, who's Yodea, who's Mashkiach, who's Yacho. If I walked into the room in the beginning of the year, you know, let's make it better than that. I visited your high school last year to give a shiur and to visit Shalavim. And when I walked into the room, I walked in, my arm was spinning like this. I just walked in and I started giving my shiur. And as I gave my shiur, I was calling on people, I was giving the shiur, and the arm was just spinning like this. So you'd like look at each other, you'd smile at each other like you're doing right now, and you'd say, that's strange, you know. I'm not sure why he's doing that. Is he like trying to like prove a point? Is he trying? And you would, I'm not mentioning anything about it. You're not mentioning anything about it. So we would just learn to let it go. Then later that week, you're at the supermarket, you know, in your local town, and I'm still in the United States visiting. And from behind, you see me walk into the store. I get out of my car, and sure enough, I get out of my car, and my arm is going like this, spinning like this. And I walk into the supermarket, and I don't see you. So it's not like I'm doing this for you. I go down the aisles, you know, I'm taking things off the aisle. I go to the store, and I have to get my wallet out with one hand, and I pay, and I try to carry the things with me, and I go back to my car, and this arm is just spinning in the same consistency. And that's it. Then you come to yeshiva, and you come into shiur the first day, and you walk in, and I'm sitting here with my arm spinning. Hi, guys, welcome. Sure enough, I give shiur and everything. And this is how everything goes on for months. You just see this arm spinning. So after a while, you get used to it, and you just assume this is obviously some type of uncontrollable spasm or something with my body, that no matter what I'm doing, my arm is just spinning all the time. It's on its own. I'm not willing this to happen right now, because it seems to just happen throughout the day, throughout the months, throughout the years. You know, you might even see me like years later at a bris, and you walk into the room, and sure enough, the arm is spinning. This is the way we sort of interact in the world. We walk around, we see the sunrise, we see the sunset, we see the trees, you know, turn colors in the fall, and we see everything continuing in its regular processes, and it doesn't seem like anyone is willing it to happen. The only way you'll ever know that this arm spinning, as you see my arm continuing to spin as I speak to you now, the only reason you'll ever know that this is not some uncontrollable spasm is if one day I go, Ezra, come over here for a second, and I take Ezra, you know, outside the room into a private corner where no one can see, and all of a sudden I go, whoa. I start spinning it the other direction, and then I say, okay, so let's go back, you know, let's go back into the where everyone else is. And sure enough, then the arm continues. That little taking Ezra aside and showing him, like, look, I could stop. So that's my way of showing him that what looks to the naked eye is some process that's running without any specific direction, without anyone willing it, without anyone controlling it, is really completely in my control the whole time. And that's what the Ramban here says, that by doing a nes that breaks the pattern that we see all the time, it becomes very clear to the people who saw it that Hashem created the world, that Hashem knows what's going on, that He is involved in the world, and that the world and the system of nature didn't always exist, but rather that Hashem was the one who created it and runs it now. And even more so, if I would tell Ezra, I would say to him, you know what, Ezra, tomorrow I'm going to pull you aside and show you that this arm is not spinning on its own. If the Navi, before it even happens, the miracle, he says, this miracle is going to happen. God is going to come down and he's going to... It's always nice to do a mashal where you're God, right? When the Navi says, I'm going to do all these miracles, I'm going to break nature, I'm going to split the sea, I'm going to bring the Makos. So Yizbar Mimenu Od, you also learn from there then, Amitas HaNevuah, Ki Yedaber Elokim Es HaAdam, V'yigalu Sodo Al Avodav HaNeviyim, V'siskayim Imzeh HaTorah Kula. You also end up showing the person that there's something called nevuah, that God speaks to man, and that he reveals to the people who serve him, he reveals what's going to happen. And this brings a kiyum to the entire Torah, to all of Torah, the Kol HaTorah Kula. Vilochein. And that's why, Yomar HaKosav B'Mofsim, that's why when we read through the miracles, the makos that took place in Mitzrayim, so the Pasuk says by one of the makos here in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud Ches, the Torah says, by Orov. Viflesi bayoma hu eseretz Goshen asher ami omed alea leviltia yosham Orov. You'll see that in Goshen there won't be any Orov. Leman teida ki ani Hashem bekerav aretz. What's this leman teida? In order so that everybody realizes that I have hashkach in the world. I'm bekerav aretz. I'm not removed from the world. I'm bekerav aretz. I interact. I'm in the world. Ki lo azavo sam lemikrim kedaitam. Not like you think that, oh, everything that happens is just chance, an accident. There's no divine direction. No, ani Hashem bekerav aretz. And then a little bit later in Perek Tes, Chaf Tes, regarding the Barad, Vayomer Elov Moshe Kitzesiya Sa'ir Ephrosis Kapaya Lashem Hakalos Yechtolun Vabarad Lo Yeod. He stops the Barad Leman Teida Ki Lashem Haaretz. What does it tell me? Lashem Haaretz, the land, the earth is God's. Lohoros Alachidush, to teach us that Hashem created the world. Kihem Shalosh Abar Me'ayim, because He has complete control over it. He obviously created it. That's why the entire earth and all of nature is in His hands. V'omar, and furthermore, same perek, a little bit earlier, Pasuk Yudalid. By Kinim. V'yasuchin achar tumim bilatehem. No, this is not the right Pasuk. Which Pasuk is it? Tes Yudalid, sorry, that was Ches. Tes Yudalid by what does this mean? Ki ein kamoni. L'horos al ha'yicholas, to teach us about God's ability. Shu shalit b'kol ein mi'akiv b'yado, that He's all powerful. Nobody could stop Him. Nothing can stop Him. Ki b'chol zeh hayu ha'mitzrim machishim o'mistapkim. The Mitzrim, they were very up to date with the latest philosophies. And the latest philosophies argued, God doesn't run the world, God didn't create the world, God isn't all powerful. And therefore, all of the Makos came in order to teach us, Ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz. I have Ashkach over the world. Ki Lashem haaretz. I created the world, it's my land. And ein kamoni b'chol haaretz. There's nothing that has power like me. Im kein ha'osos v'amofsim ha'gadolim edim ne'emonim. And therefore, the miracles of Mitzrayim, they were edim ne'amonim. They were witnesses. And they taught us emunas habore. We finish up the first part of the Ramban here, where the Ramban clarifies for us that from the times of Enosh, so Avodah Zarah began to proliferate in the world. Certainly in Egyptian culture, they had certain views of God, that the Makos came to correct those erroneous philosophies. And the Ramban was medayik here in the Lashon by the Makos. Ki ani Hashem bekerav haaretz. Leman teida ki Lashem haaretz. Bavur teida ki ein kamoni. It's almost explicit in the Psukim that the Makos were there in order so that we should know that Hashem is baaretz. In order that we should know that Ein Kamoni B'chol Haaretz. That was the purpose of the Makos. We're up to Ubavor. Ubavor ki Hashem lo yasa osu mofes b'chol dor leinei kol rasha o kofer. Now, since Hashem is not going to do miracles regularly in every generation. Now, when He calls it leinei kol rasha o kofer, in the eyes of Rishayim and Kofrim, so it sounds like what he's suggesting is that later generations weren't necessarily roy, that they should have overt miracles being done in their presence. So therefore, because Hashem, it's true, He once did an overt miracle or did a bunch of overt miracles in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And by doing that, there was no question to anyone in Egypt if Hashem created the world. There was no question to anyone in Egypt if Hashem is involved in the world. The Makos removed that errant philosophy from their minds. But since Hashem doesn't regularly do that, and in general we just see the arm spinning, in general we just see the regular rising of the sun and the setting of the sun and systems of nature at play. So Yitzave Osanu Shanasa Tamid Zikaron Vos Lasher Ro Einenu. That's why Hashem commanded that we need to do regular Zikaron, a regular memory, or an os, for that which we saw. Vinatik Adavar El Banenu, and something that we could pass on to our children. Ubinenu Ulivnehem. Ulivnehem Livnehem. Ador Achron, from generation to generation. V'hichmir ma'od binyan zeh. Therefore, Yetzias Mitzrayim is going to be such a crucial thing that needs to be passed on from generation to generation. Not necessarily because of that Karas HaTov that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's also important. But perhaps on a philosophic level, something much more significant. The entrance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the physical world in a way that made it clear that Hashem created the world, that He runs the world. That's something that we need to pass on to our future generations. And this is something that's very machmir. That's why we find that there's a chi of kares for achilas chametz. Why is achilas chametz such a big deal? If you don't sit in the sukkah, you don't, or if you don't take a lulav, you don't get kares. Eating chametz, ubazivas haPesach, also if you don't do the Karban Pesach. It's a mitzvah saseh. There are only two mitzvahs saseh that you get kares for if you don't keep them. One of them is Pesach. V'hitzroch shenichtov kol mashner elenu ba'otzos mofsim. And Hashem required us that we should write everything that happened. The idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, al yadenu v'al bein einenu. What's this referring to? Tefillin. That's the context here, in the end of Bo. V'nichtov oso od al pischei habatim ba'mezuzos. U'shenazkir zah b'finu boker v'erev. And that we should mention this in the morning and in the evening when we say Kriya Shema. K'mo she'amru emes v'yatzev d'oraisa. Mimasha kasuv l'man tiskors yom tzeis chameres Mitzrayim kol yivei chayecha. And that we should make a sukkah b'chol shana. V'chem kol kiyotzei be'mitzvos rabos. Zecher li'yitzias Mitzrayim. We should just add, the Sefer HaChinuch, he obviously doesn't make reference to it here, the Ramban. Sefer HaChinuch was after the Ramban. But the Sefer HaChinuch in mitzvah Tezvav, Tezayin, that's where starts discussing the mitzvos of the Karban Pesach. And he asks there the same question, why is it necessary that we should have so many mitzvos about Yitzias Mitzrayim? So many mitzvos are Zeich L'Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's where the Sefer HaChinuch presents his very important and well-known principle, Acharei HaPu'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos. Acharei HaPu'ulos Nimshachos HaLevavos. That the way that we internalize something, the way that something gets set in our hearts and our minds, is by repeatedly doing actions. It's nice to talk and to philosophize and to hear shiurim and to think about things, but it's actions that drive something home. And therefore, the things that we look at that they're just rituals, they're not just rituals. They're actually methods for internalizing deeper philosophic principles. So, achrei ha-pu'ulos, when we act and we do something, so nimshachos ha-levavos. This is very true, you should know, in terms of personal development. The Rambam writes this, Aristotle writes it as well. To be virtuous, you have to practice virtue. That sometimes a person might say, you know, I'm not really a chesed kind of guy. It's not my kind of thing. So, you know, they're offering that the yeshiva, they're going to do a Bikur Cholim visit. Or there's Tomchei Shabbos. You say, oh, there are other people that excel in that area. I'm not really a chesed person. The way you become a chesed person is by practicing chesed. And you'll see that if you do acts of chesed, eventually you start to become a person who cares about chesed. If we only do the things that we care about, there are going to be a lot of things that we don't do. What's much more important is that we have to intellectually identify that something's important. And even if we don't emotionally feel connected to it, if you identify intellectually that it's important, so force yourself to do it. Again, we're not brainwashing. We're not saying to do something that you don't believe in just because someone told you to do it. But if you believe in it, I imagine there are very few people who are going to sit here and say they don't believe chesed is an important thing. Imagine everyone thinks chesed is an important thing. But some people have a more natural tendency towards doing chesed and some people less. So the one who has a natural tendency or propensity towards chesed, so you'll do chesed because it's something that you like doing. If you don't have such a natural tendency towards chesed, but you identify that it's important, so go out and do acts of chesed. You'll see. By doing it, you'll eventually start to connect with it and you'll become a chesed-oriented person. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. But the Ramban here is picking up this a slightly similar yesod, but he's saying that forget about because acharei ha-pu'ulos nimshachos ha-levavos. He's just saying that it's such a critical event, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we need to have so many things that commemorate it. V'hakol liyos lanu b'chol hadoros edos b'movsim shelo yishkechu v'lo yepischon pel l'kofer l'hachish emunas elokim. If we had one mitzvah that commemorated Yitzias Mitzrayim, so with time, people will deny it happened. And they'll be able to deny it. But if we have so many things, it's almost like an obsession in Judaism. Everything's about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Everything's about Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's no way anyone's going to be able to deny us because this is something that is so public, right? Everyone's familiar, I imagine, with the Kuzari's argument that you can't pull off on a national level a conspiracy and make up something and make such a big deal about it. And everybody's talking about it. It didn't happen. We couldn't all in this room claim that, I don't know, something fell through the ceiling of the shear room in the middle of shear and whatever, and started doing miraculous things. One of us would lie, would tell our child or our spouse, especially if it required us to, you know, cut off our arm. None of us would, many of us would whisper to our wives, our parents, our friends, like, by the way, this whole thing, we all made it up, you know, it didn't really happen. You can't pull it off on a national level. So if it's something really small, it's a small little detail, so maybe you could pull it off. Because, you know, with time, people say, oh, this one little thing, maybe I forgot about it, maybe. But something that's such a big topic that everyone's talking, that everything's revolving around it, so it makes something that no one's going to be able to deny that this happened.
And, is Matan Torah an extension of Jesus Mitzrayim?
So seemingly yes, but I think that part of the difference is that Yitzias Mitzrayim was also done in front of the Egyptians. It was done, you know, it was sort of, you know, Matan Torah was done often private in the middle of the desert. Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's like doing it in Paris. It's like doing it in Manhattan. That was the center of the world, Mitzrayim. So that was a major event that it uprooted and it destroyed the major superpower of the world. Okay, ki akona mezuzah bezuzah echad bekava bepischo v'niskaven b'inyana, says the Ramban, because you can buy a mezuzah for a zuz, and it's inexpensive, relatively. Kava bepischo, you put it on your door, v'niskaven b'inyana, and you have intent for the inyan of the mezuzah, which is an important line here. You can't just put up a mezuzah and forget about it. Every time you walk by the mezuzah, you have to think about what's the significance of the mezuzah. But a person can be kona mezuzah for a zuz. It's a little bit more expensive nowadays. The kav of a pischo, and you put it in your doorway, and you're skavein binyana, and kfar, look at that small little act. By walking by your mezuzah, what do? You're hodu b'chidush ha'olam u'bediyas habore v'ashkachoso, v'gam b'nevua, v'hemen b'chol pinos ha'torah. Just this little mitzvah of mezuzah, which doesn't require much, is basically a statement that Hashem created the world, that He knows what's going on, that He's running the world, that there's something called nevuah. Because if you think about the mezuzah is all about Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Yitzias Mitzrayim is the greatest raya ever in history, that Hashem is actively involved in the world. He created the world. He knows what's going on. And it was even prophesied before that it was going to happen. So it's a raya for a moon, for nevuah. Milvad, forget the fact, shehoda shechesed abori gadol ma'od al osei ritzono. Forget the fact that Hashem does tremendous chesed for people who listen. Shotzianu me'oso avdus l'cheirus. U'kavod gadol liskos avoseinu achfeitzim b'yirah shemo. Forget about the fact that you're also commemorating or internalizing when you see the mezuzah that Hashem rewards those who honor Him and respect Him and serve Him. And then there's hakar satov. U'lefikach amru havizar b'mitzvah kalach kebechamur. That's why the Mishnah and Avos that we learned already, very beginning of the second parak, says, you should be zayir with a mitzvah kala kibbechamura. Because look at what even a little mitzvah kala like mezuzah can do. Look about the major philosophic principles of Judaism that the mezuzah is connected with. Shekulam chamuros v'chavivos ma'od. Shebichol shah adam moda behem le'elokav. Look at that, the mitzvah of mezuzah. Every time you walk into the room, you're relating to all of these major ikare emuna. The kavanos kol mitzvah shenamim belokenu v'nodei lav shuboranu. This is a very important line here by the Ramban, and this is really the purpose of all mitzvos. All mitzvos are there to further our emuna in Hashem, and for us to realize that He is our borei. V'hi kavonas hayitzira. You can't get a more important line than that. And this is the reason we were created. Right, everyone, what's the big philosophic question? Why are we here? What are we supposed to accomplish in life? Hi kavonas hayitzira. This is the goal of life. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yitzira rishona. We don't have any other good reason for why Hashem created us. V'ein la'elyon p'tachton m'chefetz. And why would Hashem bother with our world? What does Hashem want to get out of our world? What does Hashem want to get out of me? Milvad zeh, it's got to be this. She'yeda ha'adam v'yoda l'elokav shebara'o. What Hashem wants is that a man should come to a recognition of who Hashem is and be modeh. His whole existence should proclaim that Hashem created him. The kavanas romimus hakol. You should know, says the Ramban, this is why we raise our voices in prayer, betfilos. The kavanos bate kinesios uzchus tfilos harabim. That's why we come to shul and we say kedusha and we answer the kaddish. What are we doing? What are we trying to accomplish? Zehu shielivnei adam makom yiskavtsu v'yodu lokel shabarim v'mtsiyum. Shul is a place where we can come and together as a group we could proclaim, yes, Hashem, you are our God. You created us. We are here to serve you. That we should make this known and that we should be able to say to Hashem, Hashem, we are your creations. This is what Chazal tell us, commenting in the Pasuk in Yonah, that they called out to God with a powerful voice. From here you see that tefillah needs kol. You need to say it out loud. Chatzifa notzach levisha. And chutzpah can conquer rishus, can conquer evil. Chutzpah, meaning to be brazen, to not be meek in the corner, but to get up and to proclaim, don't be shy. Your life is supposed to proclaim the glory of Hashem. That's why we're here. Right? Rav Yamar always says to be ambassadors of Hashem, right? To be ambassadors of Hashem. That's why we're here. We're here in the world in order to be an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that we are the people who are supposed to bring the message that yes, Hashem does exist. Hashem runs the world. So up until now, this Ramban has been an absolute home run. Now we get to the famous part of the Ramban. But people forget the beginning. The beginning, he spoke about purpose of creation. He spoke about what all the mitzvot are about. He spoke about the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now he gets to the part that is famous that people like to quote. Uminanisim agedolim amifursamim, and from all of these public miracles, and I just spent a lot of time, says the Ramban, explaining to you the importance of those public miracles. Those public miracles, those are the ones that break nature, those are the ones that show us that Hashem is running the world. But you know what, says the Ramban? From these nisim gedolim and mifursamim, adam modeh benisim hanistarim, which is a concept we've spoken about before. From there, a person is supposed to then continue the thought process and from that come to be modeh in the nisim nistarim. Shehem yisod ha-Torah kula. Because they are the real essence of the Torah. Just to remind you very quickly, nisim nistarim, which we saw in Parsha Shmos, I believe, in Vayera, excuse me, and we also saw back from in Bereishis and Perek Yud Zayin. Nisim nistarim mean the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks teva, but not in an overt way, but in a hidden way. And that if a person does the mitzvos, so Hashem rewards him. His business does well, he gets health. And if a person sins, so Hashem sometimes punishes him. Now we pointed out that the cheshbon is much more complicated than that. It's not just tit for tat, like, oh, you do something good, so Hashem rewards you. And that's the only ingredient in terms of health and success in parnasa, obviously not. But the Ramban said that if a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give someone success in Parnassa, so he doesn't just make money fall from the sky. That would be an overt miracle. But he works out behind the scenes that, even though it works out in nature, because there are a certain percentage of people who do well in business, a certain percentage of people who don't do well in business. Hashem works it out that you're in that category of people that do well. That's Nisim Nistarim. That's Hashem running your life behind the scenes, otherwise known as Hashkacha Pratis. So, Shehem Yisoda Torah Kula. She'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. Very powerful line here. You have no shaychus, no connection to Hashem's Torah, ad shiyamin, until you believe, shekol dvarenu umikrenu kulam nisim. Ein bam teva min hago shel olam. Everything's a nes. There's no teva. What does that mean, there's no teva? Of course there's teva. There's something called gravity. Of course there's nature. But what it means is that you're not bound by nature in the traditional sense. Hashem certainly is not going to do overt miracles. He did that once in Mitzrayim. But even the behind the scenes, you're not bound by nature. If you were bound by nature, so your success in business would only be dependent on the current market. You know, the current market conditions, you know, your schooling, your ability to make a good deal, your intuition. What about Siyata Dishmaya? No, there would be no role for that if everything was natural. So he says, we have to believe that everything that we're involved in, called Vrenu Mikrenu, Kulam Nisim, Bein Birabim, Bein Biyachid. And what does that mean? Im Yasa Mitzvot Yatzichenu Scharo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward us. Now, is he going to reward us today in our business deal today? No, maybe he'll reward us in 20 years. Maybe he'll reward us in 40 years. Maybe he'll reward us Achrei Me'av Esrim. But the idea that if a person does mitzvot, Hashem promises us, Im B'chukos Haytzei Lechu, so I'll give you bracha. V'im Yavor Alayim Yikarsenu Oncho. Hakol B'Gzeiras Elyon. Everything that happens to us is a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Oh, what about the fact that there can't be overt miracles? Okay, so Hashem will work things out that it doesn't contradict nature. Kasher is karti kfar. And the Ramban says, I've mentioned this, and this indeed is a major theme in the Rambam. Now, v'yisparsimu anisim estarim b'inyin harabim. Kasher yavo b'yudei ha-Torah b'inyin ha-brachos v'akulos. Klolos. You realize that if one person does well in business, so it's still a hidden miracle. Because there are going to be some people who do well, some people who don't do well. You happen to be with the group that does well. What would happen if an entire nation, all those people, happened to do well? So then it's not a hidden miracle anymore, right? So if you have a person, he's playing, rolling dice. So you roll the dice once, and you get double sixes, and you win. Okay, that's not a miracle. That happens. There's a statistical possibility that you threw sixes. But if you throw double sixes, and then you throw again double sixes, so at a certain point, it's not natural anymore. Obviously, at some point, something's happening. Because it can't be that Hashem's hooking up, happens to be that all the frum guys, they're all the ones who are doing well. So he says, Nisim Nistarim can also, when it comes to the Inyan Harabim, if all of Yehudei HaTorah, all the promises of the Torah, Brachos and Kalalos, Kamosh Amru, Vyamru Kol Goyim Al Ma'as Hashem Kachal Eretz Azos, Vyamru Al Asher Ozvu is Bris Hashem Elokei Avosam. She is Parse Madavar L'Chol Ha'umo Shumeis Hashem Ba'onsham. And that's what the Ramban tells us is going to be Ba'achris Hayamim. Ba'achris Hayamim, when the whole nation is serving Hashem properly, so eventually it'll be a point where everyone's getting Nisim, and then everyone will realize that there are Nisim going on, because when Nisim, even if they conform to Teva, if they're happening for an entire nation, eventually they'll see that the success of the nation is not just doesn't just happen to be alpi nature, and we can even see that to ourselves on a certain level. You know, you read the story, the historical story of the Jewish people, and you see the success that they've had. You know, you see the return to the land of Israel, and you see the success in the wars and what we've built here, you know, startup nation and everything that everyone talks about, the success of the Jewish people. So at a certain point, it's almost impossible to deny that that there's something miraculous here, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is involving himself. You might not have seen it 500 years ago as much. 500 years ago, when the Jews are spread out and they're being oppressed by others, so you don't necessarily see the Yad Hashem. But Baruch Hashem, we live in a time where we're able to see. We're seeing tremendous miracles, and Mirtz Hashem, it's all part of a process that we ourselves it's unfolding in front of our eyes. But Ode Farish Zeb Ezra Sakel, and the Ramban says this last point about what happens when a miracle starts to take place on a national scale, a hidden miracle, but it's happening at a consistency and at a rate that makes it that it can't be natural. She said, I'll talk about that in Parshas Bechukosai when I speak about, or maybe it's Achrei Mos Kedoshim, when I speak about the Tochacha.